I'd ask you this morning, if you turn in your Bibles to two different places, the book of Colossians and then the book of Galatians. The book of Colossians, it's if you're using a Bible provided, page 983. And then Galatians, if you're using a Bible provided for you, in the front of your chair, page 972. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Last week, as we continue our series looking through our church membership covenant, what does it mean to be a member of Covington Baptist Church? We're looking at our covenant, and we are looking at how the things contained in that covenant are taken from Scripture. And last week we saw that if the Bible is to be the authority of our lives, that we must first of all value the Word of God. We looked at Psalm 119 for that. And also we must prioritize the Word of God in our lives and in the lives of our family. We looked at Deuteronomy 6 last week for that as well. You'll be able to discuss some of that further in your connection group that will meet tonight or this week. You see, only the Scriptures can remind us of true reality. The true reality of what God, of who God says we are and where God says that we're headed if we're Jesus followers. Only the Scriptures can be the stabilizing reminder of where my hope, of where your hope is found. If this is the case, then the Scriptures are to be the focal point. They're to be the authority for both our individual lives and then also the life of our church. What we often tend to do, as we discussed last week, is we tend to replace the Word of God in our lives with lesser things. So instead of looking to the Scriptures and what they say to remind us of where our hope is found, we often go to simply other people. And then when those other people aren't around us, we flutter and we don't know what to do because we aren't going to the right source for our hope. We go to things, to objects. We turn to our bank accounts, our refrigerators. We turn to all of the short-lived enjoyments that this world offers us. But as Christians, we are called to hold tightly to the Bible as the Word of God, which is completely sufficient for all of life. The theme for our series is simply this: we are called to be the church. The church isn't a building. The church isn't a location. The church is a gathered people. God's people coming together. Therefore, we want, if we are called to be the church, we as a church must desire above all things for the Word of God, the Bible, to have its proper place both in our lives and in this church. So again, last week we looked at the place of the Word of God in our individual lives. We looked at the place of the Word of God in our families. And this week we want to continue to show that when God's Word is the focal point of our individual lives, it's the focal point of our families, then it will naturally carry over to be the focal point in the life of the church because the church is comprised of individuals. Tim mentioned the first bullet point in our church covenant, our church membership covenant, and it says this: we will build our lives and families upon the foundation of the Scriptures and hold fast to sound doctrine in keeping with the biblical text. That is what the Word of God calls us to as Christians. And this morning we are going to look at the Word of God, and as the sermon title in your bulletin is mentions, the Word of God and its place in my life, in your life, and in the life of this church. And again, we've seen that we must value God's Word, we must prioritize God's Word, but thirdly, this morning we are going to focus on the fact that we must also cling to God's Word. And this moves not simply from it valuing God's Word as individuals, not simply as prioritizing God's Word as individuals and families, but clinging to God's Word. We're going to really focus this morning clinging to God's Word in the context of the church. So let's pray. Let's open up with the word of prayer, and we're going to dig in. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this day to worship you. Lord, I kind of get the sense that maybe people are tired this morning. Maybe it's been a long week. Maybe there's a lot on individuals' minds. But Lord, it is your word that refreshes our soul. Lord, David writes, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my heart longs after you. So, Father, I pray that this morning we would drink deeply from the never-ending well of your word. Father, would you exalt Christ this morning? Would you exalt the message of the gospel, the truth of the gospel this morning in our hearts and lives? Would you encourage hearts through your word? Would you challenge hearts through your word? Would you convict hearts through your word? Would you cause us to seek to follow you because your Spirit has gripped us through your word? And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. As Christians, as a church body, as members of Covington Baptist Church, those of you who have formally become a part of this body, we are called to cling to the Word of God above all else. I want to look at three reasons why we are to cling to the Word of God. The first reason that we must cling to the Word of God, like when we talked about prioritizing God's Word and valuing God's Word, it ultimately comes down to a heart attitude. You see, we will not cling to the Word of God unless, number one, we cling to it because we treasure its message. Do you treasure the Word of God in your heart? Is it what the psalmist described in Psalm 119, sweeter than a honeycomb, that it is greater than choice treasures of silver and gold to you? The stories told of many individuals in foreign countries who only had portions of God's Word, and they would memorize those portions before they would then have to share those small portions of God's Word with other Christians because they did not have God's Word. Individuals that would try to internalize God's Word because they knew that they would not have God's Word in the prison cell to which they were headed. You see, if we do not treasure the Word of God, we are not going to cling to it. Why should we treasure the Word of God? I want to give you a couple reasons. Number one, because our faith is founded upon the Word of God. How did you come to Christ? Were you walking down the sidewalk one day and all of a sudden a lightning bolt hit you out of the air and all of a sudden you turned to Jesus? You either read for yourself the message of the gospel in God's word, or you had a faithful friend who declared to you not their own message, but the message which is from God's word. If you want to look at Colossians, Tim read this, but I just want to reiterate a few points. Look at verse 3 here. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. So Paul is saying, we haven't seen this for ourselves, but we hear of this. What is motivating their continued faith in Jesus and the love that is being expressed in their lives? Verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. There is a motivating factor that is spurring them to walk the walk, to live out their faith. And it is not an I have to, it is not an I should, it is that all of my hope, I realize, is founded and where my faith lies in Christ. It is laid up for me, not in this world, but in the world to come, in heaven. And where do they get the source of this hope? It says in verse 5, of this you have heard before, in the word of the truth, the gospel. Where do we find truth? In a world of all sorts of muddled truth and untruth and hearsay and deception, we find truth in the word of the gospel. As these Christians came to understand that hope is found only in Christ, that hope is not found in anything in this world, they heard the gospel and they responded to it and they were living their lives based on that gospel that they heard before, but that they are keeping in the front and center of their minds. That's what we're called to do as Christians. Are you feeling discouraged this morning? Are you feeling hopeless? Could it be that you have drifted from God's word? Verse 6 says that not only does this word of truth, the gospel, not only has it come to them, but verse 6 says, as indeed the whole world it is bearing fruit is an increasing. You see, this is a universal message of hope, of peace, of joy, of acceptance in Christ. I know when I'm busy, when I'm discouraged, sometimes the last thing that I do is turn to God's word, because there's either a problem that I think that I can figure out, there's an easier path to just maybe flip on a show or get involved in a hobby or get involved in something, or their life is so busy with four kids and everything going on that God's word often takes the back seat. But you know what happens when that does happen? Hope takes a back seat. You see, we cling to the word because we treasure its message. Why do we treasure its message? Our very faith is founded upon God's word. But number two, we treasure the message of God's word when we desire to grow in its truth. Many times we as Christians, we're very content with the things that we think we know about God's word. It amazes me many times that individuals can can give kind of Christianese pat answers to things, and it's not even technically what Scripture says, and it's like, well, where did you learn that? Well, I heard that when I was a kid in Sunday school. So your understanding of God's Word hasn't increased since you were a child. You see, we as Christians are to desire to grow in the truth of God's Word. Many times we are quick to say, you know what, I simply don't understand the Bible. You know what, it's just too deep for me. There's just too many hindrances that come into my mind to understand God's Word. Are those obstacles matched with the desire to know more of God's Word? Because many times we stop short and we rightly acknowledge that we are not understanding certain things, but we don't go to the follow-through. So could you help me to understand God's Word more? Hey, I'm reading this passage and I don't quite know if I'm getting the main point here, but I have a church family of individuals I know in that church family that I can always go to ask questions. In fact, that's one of the most encouraging things, even as the pastor here, is when people say, hey, Pastor Adam, I got a question for you. I was reading this, and this is the way I'm kind of taking it. What are your thoughts? That shows it's not a happiness or a joy that comes that, well, I get to showcase what I know about God's Word. No, it's because I know that person is working through the text. Does our acknowledgement that sometimes Scripture study is difficult, is it matched with a desire to grow in its truth? Because let's face it, everything that we do, there's not a day that that we encounter where there's not something that's difficult for us. How many of you are working on house projects right now? It's difficult, right? I mean, I just figured out how to change a light bulb the other day. You know what? We are so determined to work through difficult jobs like that. But when it comes to God's Word, we throw our hands up in the air and say, you know what? It's just too hard. I just don't understand it. I'm just going to be content to read my daily devotional and let that little verse and then what someone says about that verse be enough. That's not what we're called to. That's not treasuring God's Word. We have a really good example in the book of Acts of a group of individuals that desired to know God's Word. Paul had just been ministering in Thessalonica, and he would always go to the Jewish synagogue first to preach, to share the gospel. And once he got kicked out of the synagogues, he would go and he would proclaim the gospel to a completely Gentile audience. Well, the Jewish people in Thessalonica quickly kicked him out of Thessalonica. They rejected his message. But then there's a group of people, a group of Jews in the town of Berea, the city of Berea. And Paul goes to their synagogue and he shares with them the gospel from the Scriptures, how the Old Testament points to Jesus. Acts 17:11 says this, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, but they just weren't passive listeners. Okay, I get it or I don't get it. I agree with it or I don't agree with it." What did they do? They examined the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So this Jewish audience is saying, these are things we've never heard before. Is it really true what Paul is saying? And rather than being like the Thessalonican Jews and just saying, we don't accept it, we kick them out. No, they went back to the Old Testament to see if what Paul was saying really lined up. Folks, that's what we're called to do as a church. That's what we're called to do as individuals. To desire to grow in God's truth, so therefore we are not content to just be spoon-fed God's word. We want to feed on it ourselves. I hope that we're still not feeding Sammy from a baby jar with a spoon when he's 10. But many times we've been saved for decades, and we're content to hear a Sunday morning sermon, and either it makes sense or doesn't make sense, it's interesting or boring, and we're never feeding ourselves through the week. We as a church body, if we're going to treasure God's word, must desire to grow in its truth. But not only that, but thirdly, if we treasure God's word, you know what? We're going to desire to pass it on to others. Now, you know, if you're a pirate, we used to like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. You know, if you're a pirate and you see treasure, what do you do with that treasure? You keep it to yourself, and so that nobody else can get the treasure, what do? You bury it, right? And you make a map that only you have, and X marks the spot. It's not so in the Christian life. If we are treasuring God's word, we don't want to bury it and keep it to ourselves. Man, we want to pass it on to others. And that's exactly what Paul told Timothy to do. In fact, in 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says this to Timothy, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." This is specific instructions Paul is giving Timothy, but by application, we all are to be doing this. We saw last week in Deuteronomy 6 that fathers and mothers are to be instructing their children in the Word of God, to pass it on, that the children would not forget who God is. In the context of Israel, that the generations wouldn't go by and be forgetful of what God did in Egypt. And as a church family, we are to be actively seeking out who are individuals that I can instruct with the same teaching that I received. Of course, we need to be sure that the teaching we received is biblical teaching. We need to be sure that we are mindful of biblical truth, but are we seeking out others to pass the faith along to? If we treasure God's word, we desire to pass it on to others. I would dare say if you're a father, if you're a mother here, and you have children that still live in your home and you're not passing on scriptural truth to them, then you will not take that next step and pass it on to your family, your church family. But in order for Covington Baptist Church to remain committed to the Word of God for decades, we're going to be celebrating our 180th anniversary as a church body. And if we want to continue to be faithful until Jesus comes again, then we must be passing the faith to future generations. So I want to ask you this morning, are you clinging to God's word because you treasure its message? It begins with the heart attitude. But then we must cling to God's word, not only because it must stem from the heart, a desire, a treasuring of this message, but then there are also practical necessities to clinging to God's word. Our church membership covenant says that we will hold fast to sound doctrine in keeping with the biblical text. Why do we need to hold fast to sound doctrine in keeping with what the Bible says? Because there's all sorts of false doctrine around us, and that creeps sneakily into the church. So if we're going to cling to God's word, we have to, number two, not simply because we treasure its message, but number two, we must cling to the word because we are surrounded by deception. We have a heart reason, number one, and number two, we have a very practical, circumstantial reason. We are surrounded by deception. I mean, what you do when you turn on the news, especially with everything that's going on in this world, is what you do is you have a clash of worldviews. You have a clash of perceived truths. And where are we to get our worldview? Not from the news, not from what others say, but from God's word. Where are we to find truth? From God's word. You see, there will always be temptation to forsake the word of God. Maybe you're undergoing that temptation this morning. That whether that's due to outward pressure, whether that's due to inward doubt, you're tempted to forsake God's word. And that temptation is always going to be there. Number one, because we still have sin residing within us, even as Christians. But number two, because the whole culture around us is pushing us in that direction. But the good news is that this is nothing new. It's not a new problem. Satan simply repackages old schemes. If you flip over, if your hand is a marker you have in Galatians, Paul, in giving the gospel, this church was founded in Galatia, which is different than Colossae. Paul did not found the church in Colossae. But in Galatia, he did. And these are mostly Jewish Christians. And what happens in verse 6? The beginning of his letter, after he gives a short greeting, he gives the gospel in verse 3 and 4 and 5. And he quickly gets to the core of their problem in this church. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. The temptation was so great that it's like before Paul feels like he barely even left Galatia to move on, that he turns around and he hears news that these guys are deserting the faith. And they actually would find comfort in their deserting the faith because it had an air of spirituality about it. They are turning to a different gospel. They're not turning and saying, oh, forget everything. But it is a different gospel than what Paul has preached. They are trying to find justification, not simply in Christ alone, but by going back to the Jewish law. And what does he say in verse 7 concerning this different gospel? He says, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But notice how important it is for we as Christians to cling to the truth, to the Word of God, to the gospel. Paul is so certain that his message is in conformity to the Scriptures that he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Even if it is an angel from heaven. The temptation was great to desert God's word. The temptations can seem great to desert God's word and even good, but it's a train wreck in the end. Did you know that we can even get so busy serving the Lord, or what we think of serving the Lord, whether it be in this church or whether it be in our job or wherever it is that we feel God has called us to, we can get so caught up in that, and it seems good, man. It seems like a word from an angel. But when it is driving our hearts from God's word, it is going to end in a train wreck. Paul says here, verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Even good things can rip our hearts from God's word. Seemingly good things. If we are not clinging by faith to the gospel, if we are not clinging to the pages of Scripture because it is in Scripture that we find truth, then we will be deceived and we will fall to the temptation to forsake the Word of God. But we're surrounded by temptation, by deception, not just from the temptation to forsake God's word altogether. But we're also surrounded by deception because we are constantly faced with the temptation to twist God's word. When you think of Genesis 3 with Eve in the garden and the serpent, Satan comes before Eve. What does he say? Did God say, you shall not eat of any of these trees? He immediately puts into question what God has said. And he even twists it to say, all of these trees? That is Satan's blue book method of temptation, going from Genesis 3 all the way to the present moment. It is to twist and distort one's perception of God. And he can easily do it if we are not bathed in Scripture. What did he do with Jesus? In Matthew 4. The same exact type of temptations that he gave Eve in the garden, and Adam was there listening in. He says, are you the Son of God? Did not God say he's given you command over all of his angels, that if you cast yourself down from this pinnacle of the temple, that the very angels can catch you and can deliver you? Why don't you exercise your divine authority right now? What does Jesus say? Jesus answers with Scripture and he says, it is written, you shall not tempt or test the Lord your God. In other words, Jesus, as our perfect example, says, you're not going to deceive me, Satan, because number one, you're twisting Scripture, but I'll give you Scripture. This is what Scripture says, and your twisting of Scripture is a distortion of the very character of God. Maybe this morning you are allowing yourself to fall to the temptation of twisting Scripture. Didn't God say He'd meet all my needs? Well, He hasn't done this for me. He hasn't done this for me. He hasn't done this for me. Didn't God say He's always going to be with me? It doesn't seem like He's with me right now. Didn't God say this over here? I don't see it happening. And we are twisting Scripture to try to conform it to our own understanding. And that, too, is a path to end in destruction. You see, we have to cling to God's Word, both as individuals, as families, and as a church, because it comes from the heart to treasure the message of God's Word. Because of the practical necessity that we are surrounded by deception, both outside of us and inside of us. And number three, we must cling to the Word of God as a people, as a church, because we have been entrusted with it. The Scriptures have stood the test of time for centuries. In fact, God Himself says that the flower fades, forget the rest of it. Anybody remember it? The grass withers and the flower fades, but what endures forever? The Word of the Lord. Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. You see, God's Word is not going to all of a sudden fail us. God is not going to all of a sudden drop the ball when it comes to our lives. We've been entrusted with God's Word, as we've already talked about, to pass it down to the next generation. To the very people, as you look around this room, and as a church family, God has given you, yes, you, in many cases, a responsibility to pass on that word of truth. You see, He's entrusted us as a church with His Word. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writes to Timothy and says this, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Guard it. This isn't an individual effort. He says that we have received the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He says that this is by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. This is a divine enabling that God has given us, both as individuals and as a church, to guard the deposit. What is that deposit? It is the gospel message. It is the Scripture in which the gospel is proclaimed from Genesis to Revelation. And we guard it not simply by hiding it or by holding it close, but by giving it out. By being willing to do the hard work at times of seeking to understand it. By being willing to ask questions to understand it more. by being willing to take a stand for the Scriptures. When bad doctrine creeps into the church or into your child's minds, into your family. So why must we cling to God's word as individuals, as families, and as a church? Because we treasure its message, because we are surrounded by deception, and because we have been entrusted with it. So as we close, I want to give you five final quick points of application. I think I'm joking. They are going to be quick. And it's only 10 till 11. I got lots of time. Lots of time. I want to ask you five final application questions. We don't want to be hearers of God's word only and not doers. So let's take this and ask us these. Number one, how have you grown in your understanding of the Word of God in the past few months? We should have these questions on the screen, right? It's not in there. Okay, well, listen closely. How have you grown in your understanding of the Word of God in the past few months? I updated the sermon from last week to this week. Maybe that's why. So, anyway. Are you discovering little nuggets in the Scripture simply because you are consistently in it? You see, we do not learn Scripture in chunks. God teaches us things nugget by nugget by nugget. You know, you can sit through a morning service and you can say, boy, I didn't understand 80% of that. I'm a newer Christian, or I haven't really been raised in the church. And I haven't heard these things for a long time like some of the other people here have. But guess what? The Holy Spirit gave me a nugget that I can walk out with and I can apply to my life and live out during the week. We grow in our understanding of Scripture nugget by nugget by nugget, step by step by step. You see, sometimes we're like kids. We went to Gettysburg this past week, and guess what? Within the first 20 minutes, guess what one of the kids asked? You already know it. What was it? Are we there yet, right? You know what? Sometimes we get so frustrated because we say, man, I'm not understanding things the way I would like. Well, guess what? I mean, the Scriptures is the very mind of God revealed to us. It's probably a good thing we can't understand it all right away, right? Because we have an infinite God who is so high above us, we will never know everything. We could spend five lifetimes and still not know God's word. Did you know that in eternity, we are still going to be studying Scripture and learning more and more and more about the depth of Scripture? Bible study isn't going to stop here on earth. We're going to have greater understanding, but it's going to continue. Our God is an eternal God, there is no limit to his depth. But as we consistently are in God's word, we should slowly be growing in our understanding of it. Number two, how is your heart being stirred by the pages of Scripture? How is your Scripture reading stirring your affections for God? That man, here we are, from Genesis to Revelation, able to open up the pages that reveal who God is, showcase his glory through his great rescue plan of redemption. How is that stirring your heart? Are you seeing more and more through the pages of Scripture just how great your God is? Just how much He has gone to pursue you? Is it stirring within your heart a love for Him? Number three, do you rely upon your own logic or the Word of God to have the final say in your life? You see, many times we say the Word of God is the authority in our lives, and I know this is true of me, but is the Word of God really having the final say? Or do we think, you know what, I kind of know what God's Word says, but I also know that this is a little bit more practical in my own thinking. You see, theologically, we can hold to the Word of God, and functionally in our lives, we don't hold to the Word of God. Number four, do your family rhythms revolve around the Word of God as the focal point? Do your family rhythms revolve around the Word of God as the focal point? That doesn't mean that everything that we are doing is, you know, okay, kids, sit down. I know you just got done from school, but I was going to say you just came home from school, but that's kind of hit and miss. We know that you're done with school, so let's sit down and have a four-hour Bible study. That's not what we're talking about. Just like what we talked about with Deuteronomy 6, that Moses writes, whether we're sitting or rising, sleeping or waking, whatever the case is, that the Word of God is before us. So are the things that we are doing, is it being controlled and dictated with God's Word and a focal point that we as a family are God-centered, we're Christ-centered, and we are going to live our family life in that way. So guess what? When the calendar gets out of control, we're not just going to say yes to one more sporting event or one more this or that. No, we are going to set up priorities that conform to God's Word. Why? Because that's what God's called us to as a family. That when difficulty comes, it's so easy as a husband and a wife to get stressed out and to lash out at each other and to lash out at the kids. But guess what, kids? We're going to come together. We're going to have a family meeting. We're going to read some promises of hope in Scripture, and we're going to pray together about this. Because that's what God's Word shows us to do. We don't have all the answers, but that's God's Word. You see, we just got done with a series on life rhythms. But does our family rhythms revolve around God's Word as the focal point, or are the kids the focal point in your family? Is work the focal point? Is the pursuit of pleasure the focal point? Don't get me wrong, we live in a broken world, and sometimes life gets out of control, and there are seasons that are just crazy. But I've found in our home, and I think you would say the same would be true of you, that far too often the kind of exceptions become the norm, and the craziness really never does end. You may say, well, Pastor Adam, maybe I have parents that they're not following God's Word. So how am I to say my family rhythm is the focal point? Listen, the Lord gives you responsibility for yourself. Your life can be centered on God's Word when your family's isn't. You may say, Pastor Adam, I have a spouse and they are not following God's Word. Christ is not the center of their life. Maybe they're not a believer. Maybe they claim to be. Whatever the case is, guess what? You're responsible for yourself. You're responsible for how you mirror the gospel to your children. Does your family rhythms revolve around the Word of God as the focal point? And last but not least, are you a contributing factor to this church body, being a people who highly prioritize the Word of God? See, just as we as individuals, just as we as biological families, we as a church family are called to highly prioritize the Word of God. Are you contributing to that? You may say, well, Pastor Adam, in this church body, there are so many people that know more about God's Word than I do, and hopefully at the end of this message, you get the idea that it's not simply knowing more about God's Word with this empty head knowledge, it's about knowing it for your life to live it out. You may say, Pastor Adam, I don't know anymore, I probably am the least here. Are you a contributing factor in your endeavor, wherever you're at, to say, I want to know God more through His Word? And even in your conversations in this church, that at the end of the conversation, the conversation isn't pointed to your opinion, to your preference, to your thoughts, but it's, well, we need to really look at what God's Word says about this. Maybe for the first time, maybe again. And we are in our conversations always emphasizing God's Word and de-emphasizing our opinions and preferences. Because when that becomes the norm in our conversation, someone that doesn't want to look to God's Word is probably not going to engage in unhelpful conversation those that are going to point them back to Scripture. So as we conclude this morning, let's say our key theme together. We are called to be the church. And if we are a part of this church body, then Christ has called us. Number one, very first bullet point of our church membership covenant, to prioritize the Scriptures, to build our lives and families upon the foundation of the Scriptures and hold fast to sound doctrine in keeping with the biblical text. Thank you.